This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Jokic for a triple. Money!
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Kick out three, Murray. Good! Nothing but net.
They would high five across my face. My wife's face.
You're going to have better seats for game five, Terrell Davis.
I hope that's the play.
Earlier on the show, NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero. Coming up, Golf Channel analyst Brandel Chambly. 20-year NBA veteran Jamal Crawford. Seahawks wide receiver DK Metcalf, actor Harold Perrineau, and now it's Rich Eisen.
Yes, everybody, it is time for hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show. Brandel Chambly of Golf Channel came on. What a talk about the merger between LIV and the PGA Tour that we had in hour number one. In hour number three, DK Metcalf of the Seattle Seahawks will be on this program, and the actor Harold Perrineau from back in the day. On Lost and Oz, and now of From on MGM Plus, currently in season two. He will be joining us here in studio. Hour number two, we've got my top five list of where Dalvin Cook should wind up. A little what's more likely coming up on this program. By the way, everybody thinks Dalvin Cook is going to wind up with the Dolphins. Wait till you hear Mike McDaniel's response to being asked that question directly today. It is on paper, I haven't heard it. On paper, laugh out loud, hilarious.
Oh, let me find it.
Made me laugh out loud. Don't
should
look
I wait?
It up. No.
No, wait.
Wait, I want your natural reaction, sir. As you know, we're genuine here in this program.
We are.
Joining us here to talk about game three in the NBA Finals and the NBA world writ large, fellow Michigan Wolverine, the eighth overall pick of the 2000 NBA draft, 21-year veteran. 21-season veteran, 20-year veteran, and three-time sixth man of the year, Jamal Crawford from the world of Turner Sports, joining us here on the Rich Eisen Show. How you doing, Jamal?
I'm great. How you doing, Rich?
I'm doing great. How did you wind up at Michigan, Jamal? How did that happen back in the day?
The Fab Five had me in eighth grade, so I think Michigan had me before they knew it. I wanted to go there for so long, and I was the kid who was like, if I make this shot, I'm going to Michigan. And it would go in. I'm like, is this really going to happen? So when I went there on my visit, they already had me. And once they promised me Jalen Rose's locker, it was a done deal.
So hold on a second. That was promised to you? You get Jalen Rose's locker if you come here? That happened?
Yes. They knew how much I loved Jalen. And they said, this is the locker you used to have. I said, is it? They say, if you come, you can have that locker. I said, oh, it's over with. That's it. I'm signing that. So that was the seal the deal moment for me.
So they had you at hello with their play and their swag and their, you know, shorts and the way that they were dominant, but sealed the deal with the actual locker is what you're saying.
Exactly. Yeah, the Barclays and the ball heads and just all that swagger. And then when the locker came, I said, okay, I don't need to see anything else. This is it for me.
All right, Jamal Crawford here. And you're doing just so well in media. It's great to see how terrific you're doing. I love listening to you. I love watching you. So I'm thrilled to have you on as my guest here today after an NBA Finals game. Is there a comparison for Jokic in your estimation, Jamal?
Yeah, if you put like a gumbo mix of three or four of the best players ever together, let's put some Magic, let's throw a little bit of Bird in there, throw some Dirk, and let's end it with Tim Duncan. And you mix that up and you get the Joker. He's something different, Rich, because a guy that's not trying to score is averaging over 30 points. Like, scoring doesn't excite him. It really doesn't. If he can get 10 points and 15 rebounds and 20 assists, that's like his perfect game for him. He's playing for perfection basketball every single time out. And it's some people are willing passers. Some people get a joy to pass. It makes him truly happy to his soul to see his guys successful. And that's why he's so different than everybody else.
And that's why, you know, putting him at the top of the three-point arc – with the basketball in his hand. I mean, Michael Malone must just, you know, get the knife and fork ready and stick the napkin into his button-down shirt, man. I mean, like, he so many options with him because of that, Jamal.
Yes, and he's playing chess. Like, he's really two or three steps ahead of everybody else. Think about this. The guys I said, with the exception of Magic, of those other three, they're thinking score first, attack, then draw the help, draw the double team. I'll make the play out of that. He's working a totally different way, and that's why he's so unique. He's working in the way of, let me get these guys going. And then when I score, I'll fall into 30 points, even though I don't want to score. Brother, it doesn't make me happy. But I'll do that too, and I'll just pick you guys apart. And he's laughing. He's happy. They asked him last night how it felt to be the first player in history to have that kind of stat line in the finals game. He's like, whatever. Like, we won. That's all that matters to him. And what I'm hoping is that these two teams in particular are helping bring back team basketball, because it's more than what's in your bag, right? It's more than just individualized scoring. It's they play together. They play the right way. And I'm hoping that's being pushed out as well to see for kids coming up.
Jamal, I was saying that just yesterday. Jamal Crawford here on the Rich Eisen Show. I was just saying yesterday that this – because the other piece of news that's out there from this week is Kyrie reportedly calling up LeBron saying, let's create a super team with Luka here in Dallas. And, you know, forget about the reality of that being able to happen. But my thought was like, you know what? I'm watching some team basketball in these finals here. I'm watching, yes, there's a superstar in Jokic and a budding one in Murray, although his stat lines scream superstar, and obviously Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo is coming into his own. But all that, as you just pointed out, I'm wondering, do you think we've passed the super team era in the NBA, or we are passing it right now, Jamal?
I'm not sure, but you know, like I know, Rich, this is a copycat league, and I'm hoping those two things come out of it. Think about this whole season. We were all saying, who's the second best player for the Nuggets? Do they have one? Is Aaron Gordon the all-star? And the fact that we were kind of trying to figure that out, and these guys are right here, they've been dominant since day one pretty much. And then you have the Heat, who've been two of the last four finals, right? And they're just kind of sneaking, not sneaking in the back door, but they're doing it so quietly with their culture and the way they do things. I'm hoping that that's the copycat part of this. You know what? We can figure it out, what we have. We don't need to do all that. We can play good basketball as a team, where nobody cares about who's getting the credit, but the team is getting the credit. Because I coach kids, and that's what I try to preach, right? It's not like I coach AAU, and that's one of the more individualized things ever, right? And I'm trying to bring that team aspect, and I'm making my kids watch this series in particular to show there's something bigger than just what you bring to the table. So I'm hoping that happens in the league, and the copycat part of it is, you know what? We don't need to all form together. Let's stay where we're at and figure it out.
Jamal Crawford here from the NBA on TNT, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. So here we are again after a Nuggets win in the finals, basically thinking it's over and the Heat have no shot. But game two did exist. It did happen. We did see it, and they did pull it off. So what now for Miami, in your estimation?
Well, coming into it, I thought Denver would win this game, and I thought Miami would win game four. And I believe that because they're not – that great when they're out in front and everybody says how great they are. They love being the underdog. That's kind of been their mantra. They've relied on that. They feel comfortable in that space when their backs are against the wall. So I think they'll come out and put on a heck of a performance in game four. But then I just think Denver ends up winning the series ultimately, because Denver is a higher level of Miami. They do the same things, but Denver does it at a higher level. So I think when it all plays out, Denver ends up winning the championship.
Okay. So now let's move on to some other topics of discussion here. What advice would you give Ja Morant if you had an avenue to give it to him, unless you have? I don't know, but I'll just throw that out there for you.
Yeah, I think the word I always look at when things happen is accountability. And I think you have to look in the mirror. And always say there's two people you can't lie to, yourself and God, right? So I think you have to have one of those meetings with yourself first and foremost, because you can say the right things and you can do some of the right things, but if your heart's not all the way in it to do those right things, the same things that got you in this position will happen again, right? So I would start there, and then I would look at, you know, some of the people in your circle, some of the people that you're around, and just get solid advice, get solid things. Like, there's so many kids that look up to all of us athletes, right, and especially Ja right now, because he's one of the kids' favorite. But there's a certain responsibility that comes with being in this position, and that's to be upheld at all times. Go back to the kid, and mentally go back to the kid where you were just dreaming about being in this position. Right, and now you're here, we have to do things the right way and take full advantage of it in the right way.
And I think we're going to find out something highly disturbing after the finals. I know I'm not going on a very thin limb here based on what Adam Silver had to say, Jamal, but I'm genuinely concerned. I mean, Stephen A. came on and said it, but those in the know are, in the NBA, are concerned he's going to be alive in 5 years. It's more than just, you know, a cautionary tale. That's what he said.
Right.
Tonight.
Yeah, and that part there is like, it's so layered, right? It's so deep, because it's like, yeah, basketball is one thing, but let's look at the off the court stuff of getting yourself together. Because, like I said, he seems like a really, really good kid from what I know about him, or a young man. I don't want to call him a kid, a really good young man.
Yes.
And then his last 2 years happened, right? And he was the same person, Rich, when I was in the bubble. And I played, that was my last time. But he was the same guy. Remember, people were making complaints, all the food here, the beds. He was like, no, we have food to eat. The beds are fine. I have no complaints. I'm happy to be here. So that guy is there. We just have to bring him back to the forefront.
Is that what he, really? That's that there was some pushback about why are we here, and he was just being a leader about let's be fortunate about what we have in this crazy mixed up world. Is that what you were saying?
Absolutely. Huh. Absolutely.
Man. I got Jamal Crawford here on the Rich Eisen Show. And then next will be the NBA draft, and for me the, you know, obviously the conversation about Wembanyama and the Spurs and what have you is gonna be of interest. But really it's what happens third overall, who the Hornets are going to take, who does that leave on the board for the Blazers, and what does it mean for Damian Lillard's future? What do you think is going to happen with the Blazers here?
Well, I know in Dame, they have to – he's not at a point in his career where he's like, you know what, this is a rebuild. He's just past that. He's done that, right? Mm-hmm. When he's graduated to now, I'm trying to compete for championships. I want to do it the right way, but you got to get some serious help around me, some veteran guys. So if that's what I believe is the conversation, just me looking from a distance, mm-hmm. I would say maybe that pick is traded. Maybe they bring in somebody who's ready right now, who they all believe can help take them to that next level. Because if I'm a superstar and, you know, I'm in my 30s, I'm not looking for a rebuild. Yeah, I've done that. I've mentored. I've helped Simons. I've helped all these young guys get from point A to point B. But now, you know, my legacy's on the line, and I put in a lot of time to put myself in this team in position to win championships, and that's what I'm trying to do.
Well, it strikes me that if the Blazers use the pick, then the clock strikes midnight, and my phone, if I'm a general manager of a team in the NBA, say based in the Northeast Corridor, I am placing phone calls to the Portland Trail Blazers on the spot to talk about whatever deals might be in the making immediately.
No doubt. No doubt about it. You've shown in that Northeast Corridor that you can compete with the highest level, but there's still something missing. And I think what's missing is that presence of, you know, maturity in the locker room, that presence of know-how, that there's a moment of truth in every single game where the game can go from one part to the other, right? And I think that's the first place I'm calling if that's what's available for that pick.
Where do you think he should go, Jamal, if you were counseling him?
If it was his pick and he was a free agent, like the perfect fit for him?
Yeah.
Could you imagine him in Miami?
I think
right?
he can.
The they have.
I think he just said on a podcast recently, you know, I don't know if he was referring to he would prefer to live there just because of the lifestyle
the
or no,
right.
You know, or the tax-free part of it. I don't know if that was what he was referring to, but him there, right? Him with Butler,
yeah.
Two-man game, that sort of thing. I don't know, right? With Bam?
Absolutely, because Butler especially is one of those guys who is comfortable being Robin throughout games. Don't forget, he was a JUCO guy. Like, he does the dirty work stuff. He's comfortable with, you know, take it over. I'll fill in when necessary, and if I need to take over, I will. So I think him in Miami or Boston, just eye test looking, if you just dropped him in those two places, I think he would fit best.
Last one for you, Jamal. The best player you ever played with is?
Rich, are we going, like, in their prime while I play with them or just who they were?
Okay. Let's go in their prime and then who they were. So I get two answers from you. I got two bites at this apple, Jamal.
All right. If I play with Penny Hardaway in his prime, I feel like that would have been the best player.
Okay.
Or Grant Hill. Are those two? Like, can they share a spot?
Sure. Yeah,
okay.
This is Sports Talk Radio, and I'm making up the rules. Why not?
It's your, hey, why can't you? Those two, I think, in their prime would have been the very best to play with. And the person I play with in his prime, I would say.
Man, you had a lot.
Chris Paul.
Looks like he's going to have his choice.
Griffin, I'm getting out of here.
Yeah, look, looks like he's about to have his choice of where to go. Looks like Phoenix is going to set him loose. That's what it looks like right now.
And imagine that, right? Who thought that would be the case going forward? But that's a Hall of Fame point guard that can fit in a lot of different places if he's not going back to Phoenix, which he doesn't look like he is. But, you know, if he's not, I'm sure his phone will be ringing as well.
And what do you think? Do you talk to Juwan in Ann Arbor at all?
Yes, what, absolutely.
What can you tell me about the state of the program in your estimation then?
I think he's solid there. I believe, you know, his eyes are only on the Wolverines. Okay. I think, obviously, you know, it wasn't the year this last year that it was the year before, but I feel like they'll get it back. And I have a total faith and belief in Juwan, him as a leader. Him as a leader of men, young men, and as a coach. So I think it'll work out.
All he's got to do is just get a recruit there and say, this is Jalen and Jamal's locker, and it's sold, right?
That's all he has to say. You know what? It may seal the deal for them as well.
Thanks for the call, Jamal Crawford. Really appreciate this immensely, and I hope this is the first of many times to get to chit-chat with you. Appreciate
it. I'm a huge fan, and what you said earlier meant the world. So you're a legend, and I really, really appreciate you having me.
I mean it. Thank you for those years at Michigan and what you're doing right now. It's great to see you. I turn the volume up when you talk, which is always a good thing. You know,
Rich, can I thank Jamal for the 5 years he spent as an L.A. Clipper, because he brought me so much joy. And if you ever heard a bunch of goofballs just screaming buckets after every time he scored, that was me and my crew.
Did you hear that,
Jamal? I appreciate that. Thank you. That was so much fun to play there. Thank you so much.
Did you hear TJ scream buckets at you?
I heard buckets a couple times.
Every time,
at the moment, but I may have confirmation now.
Jamal, thanks again. Good luck to your AAU team, and let's do this more often. Thanks again.
Let's do it, Rich. Thank you. Appreciate
it. You got it. That is Jamal Crawford, everybody. I played 20 years in the league.
One of the greatest handles of all time in the NBA.
He could shoot too, couldn't he?
Buckets. Do it all. Buckets. That was just every single time, man.
All right, let's take a break. Phone calls. Phones are lit. We will take those calls. Also still to come, what's more likely, and the top five destinations for Dalvin Cook and DK Metcalf and the actor Harold Perrineau. That's how we're rolling on this very busy Thursday. Men, do you get distracted during the day thinking about your underarms sweating, itching, or emitting an odor? Do those thoughts keep you from showing care when it counts? New and improved Dove Men Plus Care Antiperspirant with 72-hour sweat and odor protection and 1-quarter moisturizing cream helps you forget about your underarms so you can be present for the moments that matter. Don't let underarm insecurities keep you at arm's distance from the ones you care about. Buy new and improved Dove Men Plus Care Antiperspirant wherever personal care products are sold.
For decades, Rolling Stone has set the bar for entertainment publications. Today, Rolling Stone Music Now takes over in podcast form. Songwriter and producer Jamie Hartman reacts to the Ed Sheeran verdict.
You need to create something new, and of course you're going to use traditional paths to get there. Are you going to sue the Rolling Stones for making a samba out of Sympathy for the Devil? Are you going to sue Elvis Presley for writing Bossa Nova? It's like saying you're not allowed to use a pencil to create a piece of art.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.
I got to bring this up since we haven't spoken. The cart, you know the cart, what I'm talking about, the cart, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
My cart.
Yeah. What happened? Did you go up to the cart and ask for a ride to take care of your business? Or, like, what happened?
I would never ask for a ride to the locker room, but,
What happened?
People never ask for money, too, but when you present it to me, I'm not going to say no to it. So I came off the field.
Yeah.
I had come off the field like three plays before that.
Yes.
And I told my coach, like, hey, I got to take a number two. Like, it's not looking good. And then we got a first down and got close to the red zone. So I was like, you know what? I'll hold it. So we end up scoring, and I come back to the sideline.
Yes.
And the head trainer and the head equipment guy was like, hey, there's a cart down there ready to take you into the locker room to go to the bathroom, because we're playing in Detroit, and it is a hike from the locker room to the field, and plus we're on the other side. So I was like, you know what? You can't miss an opportunity like this. So, you know, up the tunnel I went, and the rest is history. Just know I left my mark in Detroit.
DK, you gave a scare to everybody who loves you and roots for you. I mean, you know, seeing you carted, we're like, wait a minute, what's going on? And then what a relief, you know, to use another analogy as well. I mean, did you have people after the game saying, what the hell did you do that for? Just walk.
Everybody after the game, I was like, bro, don't scare us like that. I'm like, I wasn't worried, so y'all shouldn't be worried. But I watched the video, and I wasn't smiling on the way to the
locker room, so that's probably why everybody was a little worried.
Yeah, I mean, we saw the tweet. You're like, that clinch walk wouldn't have made it. That's what that's what you tweeted.
And we were wearing white that game, so it definitely would have shown.
Oh, man, the latest appearance of DK Metcalf coming up in hour three. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger is the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. All Rise, Terzo in Iowa, is here on the Rich Eisen Show. How you been, Terzo? What's going on?
Oh, doing well, Rich. I'm a little fired up. So much to talk about, man, between the Live Tour, NBA, and a little bit with John Morant. I was sitting there last night painting some of my miniatures for D&D, listening to the NBA countdown when Stephen A. was talking to the commissioner, and it just reminded me of Stephen A.'s appearance on your show last week talking about John, whether or not he's going to be alive in 5 years. And this is where I've been taking that really to heart, because Stephen A. isn't wrong. You know, he puts himself in these positions, and he's out there acting, and whether the new allegations, a toy gun or whatever, there's people out there that don't play and that will snatch anything from you. And that's just what scares me so much about John, and why I just hope that the NBA doesn't just suspend him indefinitely, but put some things in place so they can help this young man.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to see him taken away from us.
No, but there is a consequence or whatever we're going to be learning. Terzo, I appreciate you always bringing your A game and your passion to this program. That's Terzo and Iowa right here. Let's go to Gene in Florida back here on the Rich Eisen Show. How you doing, Gene?
Hey, how you doing, Rich?
What's going on?
Listening to your show, and this, I was had Spectrum out here and unhooked my internet. I was having problems with when you said Live Golf is merging with the PGA. I couldn't believe
it. Me neither.
So anyway, I watched it later, but I appreciate your giving me some updates. I'm a golf fan I'm 54 from way back, from before Tiger Woods. And
yeah.
I really like the Live Golf product, but I can tell you that Brandel Chamblee is probably the biggest critic of Live Golf, probably more so than Rory McIlroy. He hates him. So I just would like to see maybe if you could get somebody that's maybe a Live Golf supporter on the show.
No problem.
To be a little fair.
Not a problem. I'm fascinated by what the future of Live Golf is going to be, and I'm happy to have somebody come on and talk about that Say it again.
I'll give you a hint. I know I've listened to this guy, Steve Elkington, is very neutral, and he gives a very honest opinion, not really for Live or against Live. But I'd really like to see a Live supporter, because I know Bryson Chamblee is, just to be fair to your listeners, I'm an everyday listener, because that left a bad taste in my mouth listening to him. All he does is bash. And I think really the bad guy here is the PGA. I mean, they're the ones that are really backtracking, kind of copying Live.
No, I know that. But Gene, his point, and this is what I have heard by so many people that I've reached out to for some help and understanding what's going on here, so I have half a clue at least coming on the air, right, is that the PGA Tour had the zone got flooded with money that they could not compete with. They couldn't compete with it in terms of the litigation. They couldn't compete with it in terms of sponsors, that the sponsors that they keep turning to saying, we need more money, we need more money. They're like, there's no more money in the banana stand here. We're out. So in order to compete with the amount of money that the zone had been flooded to try and keep some of the players from defecting, that the answer was, let's go and talk to them, because they don't want the lawsuit either. They don't want to be deposed. They don't want to be asked questions. Their ratings are in the toilet. They need our platform. Let's talk. And they did. And so, you know, that's why Brandel said what he said. And then in terms of what golf is all about in his mind, because he's been part of it and he's been in meetings about the charitable aspects and things of that nature. And people may turn their nose down at that, saying it's really all about money. You're talking about charity, that the other entity that just joined isn't as about it as the PGA Tour that he helped build. So that's perhaps why he may be feeling that way. But I appreciate the call, Gene. And call back, and we'll reach out to Steve Elkington, see if he wants to come on. Let's talk about a little bit of a palate cleanser here before we get into the Dalvin Cook news. This kid playing baseball.
Yeah, buddy.
In Cincinnati, Ohio. Mm-hmm. His name is Eli De La Cruz. He's from the Dominican Republic. He is 21 years old. He is 6'5", and he runs
like the wind.
Like the wind. You know that? What's the name of that guy? That dude that's looks like the Gimp from Pulp Fiction, who runs in the outfield in Atlanta, races fans.
Oh, the Freeze.
He runs like the Freeze. Eli De La Cruz runs like the Freeze. I'm serious.
He does.
And he doesn't hit singles. He goes for extra bases, and he is an incredible watch.
Oh, yeah.
He is an incredible watch. You must stop what you are doing when this 21-year-old young man steps to the plate, because ball go far, and then if ball stays in yard, he goes far, and you never know when he's going to stop running. He is a revelation. I love it. I love watching him.
Me too. And I'm in a crazy fantasy baseball league.
Did you get him? Because Coop and I picked him up.
I picked him up a month ago.
Wow. Because Coop got him last week.
Because I've been following, because he's climbing up the MLB pipeline prospect numbers.
He's number one.
He became number one on ESPN a few weeks ago. If you've been watching any of his minor league clips, just 116, 118 exit velo, 450 feet home runs with ease. He had his first ever home run last night, 458 feet.
And the call.
The call.
We got it. John Sadak is the announcer.
Incredible.
And it was laugh out loud funny.
It was great.
Because this is the only reaction you can have as the baseball almost left the stadium.
It landed in the last row.
Here's the call.
Anticipation to see what.
Oh, goodness! That ball had a family! In game two, his first home run! A two-run bomb!
Now, Coop, my 12-year-old, who watches highlights, MLB highlights, on the MLB app nonstop, and he loves announcers, he loves home runs, he loves watching videos. He says to me, what does he mean by that ball had a family?
Good question.
And I explained to him.
How did you explain
this? I explained it to him. Like, let's just say if something, you know, if I, you know, hurt myself and I'm like, you know, help me out here. I've got a family.
Right.
You know? And he goes, oh, I get it. I'm like, yeah, that ball got hurt.
It hurt real bad.
And that ball had a family.
What's awesome is the kid who got the ball, a high school kid, Alex French, gave it back to him. He's like, I just wanted him to have it. I wanted to do the right thing.
Dude.
Pretty cool.
Well, Alex, doing the right thing would have been able for you to secure your future a little bit.
Well, I'm sure the Reds will.
I'm sure the Reds hooked it up. He might have got five figures.
Make him whole like the PGA Tour is going to make.
Not going to get nine figures, but he might have got four
Rory
or five.
And Tiger, but no. It's great. Baseball, obviously having this kid play in Cincinnati for the Reds. And I'm very excited to see what happens here. He is must see. You must check out his highlights. You must see what I mean. He already has a hit and a stolen base today.
Yes. And his hit was an infield single. He was going 31 feet per second to first base.
I'm telling you, this
ties his own
see.
Record for the fastest by any Red player this year. He's played three games.
It's great.
It's awesome.
It is great for baseball. It is great for the sport. It is great for the Reds and all the diehard fans of the Reds
absolutely.
In Cincinnati. And if it wasn't for him, we'd be talking about Joe Burrow's home run swing, which went viral.
He hit four. I know he hit bombs yesterday.
Those balls also had families.
What can this guy do?
Wow, that was great. I'm thrilled to talk about it. It's great.
Chris, when I first saw Eli, O'Neill Cruz.
O'Neill Cruz in Pittsburgh.
I know. Same.
He's bigger than O'Neill Cruz.
He's bigger and he might have more power.
O'Neill Cruz is like 2 inches taller.
But he might have more power than O'Neill Cruz.
O'Neill Cruz is big.
Which is wild.
It's great. And they both hit from the left side. Great.
He plays third base in the minors. He had a throw to first base that was 99 miles per hour.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe he might close for him. I know. Right? If Otani can hit and pitch, it's hit and start. Do? Maybe this kid can hit and close.
Man. Hunter Green starts throwing 101, and this kid comes in and closes at 99.
Yeah, off speed.
Yeah, right.
Jeez. Fun.
It's fun. Baseball's in a fun spot right
fun
now.
Fun spot.
Yeah. Except for when the Braves throw at your, you know, your best player and almost break his wrist.
I mean, I don't want to defend the Braves here, but you started it.
How so?
Talking smack in the dugout.
Oh, come on.
So let's moving on, not to go all full Brian Gumbel on you. Moving on. So here's the scoop with the Dalvin Cook news. A 27-year-old running back in his prime, four straight 1,000-yard seasons, 52 touchdowns, is getting released because the Vikings don't want to pay him $11 million. For a running back. And I just don't understand it. And I don't have the books in front of me. Tom Pelissero told us in the last hour that the Vikings need to pay Justin Jefferson, TJ Hawkinson. At some point, they're going to, you know, it appears move on from Kirk Cousins. But I'd imagine it would be a young quarterback. I don't have... I'm not a capologist. I don't play one on TV. I don't have the Vikings books in front of me. But for the life of me, I just do not understand why a running back is devalued to the point where, yeah, we're cutting costs with you. And I'm sure Alexander Mattison can run. We've seen him run. Everybody's picked him up in your fantasy league or had – he's been a waiver wire fantasy, darling every single time Dalvin Cook goes out with a shoulder injury that Tom Pelissero said is – apparently been finally fixed by surgery. So Cook is healthier than ever, and now he's going to be running with a chip on his shoulder. And I just don't get it. I don't understand why this is the hill on which general managers and NFL front offices and capologists will potentially die on. Because I'm sure Madison can, you know, have a season, but can he run for 1,000 yards? Sure, I'm sure, maybe. 52 touchdowns over four seasons? Pro Bowl? Consistency? I guess we're going to find out. So my thought is two things. One, I don't get the devaluation of the running back position. Christian McCaffrey was on this program recently, and I asked him. It was great, because I think he's the same age as Cook. Right?
Isn't he 27? Actually, McCaffrey just had a birthday this week.
Right, 27. And Zeke is 27. Now, McCaffrey's been pizzayed, and there's no question he's going to be playing for the 49ers this year and for a few years to come, as long as he remains healthy. And he said he's never been asked this question about why is the running back position devalued, and what does he say to people who think that way in the NFL and the NFL media? This was his answer.
Somewhere along the line, you know, the running back position has been undervalued, in my opinion, for what they're asked to do. And I think there's a lot of guys that are afraid to speak up about that, but, you know, for multiple reasons. But, you know, I don't know when the value of a yard got diminished. And, you know, I'm for everybody getting paid. I love when guys, you know, earn money and are able to feed their families and have, you know, life-changing, generational-changing money. It's such a special thing because we all work really hard. And it's fun, man. It's a blessing. It really is. And so... when I look at what, you know, receivers make and slot receivers make around the league, and then you look at what running backs make, you know, we're at the bottom of the list. And you know, you got backs who had 2,000-yard seasons. You've had backs who've had 750 to 800 yards receiving. And, you know, a lot of people use the injury argument, but, and you know, I don't know if that's necessarily valid when you look at some of the receivers who have been hurt who still get big contracts. And so I understand we touch the ball the most, but in my opinion, I think we create a lot of value in doing so as well.
Well, this is going to be the latest example of seeing it. Alexander Mattison, you're up. You're up. And we'll see where Dalvin goes next. But that's my first thought is I don't understand the devaluation of the running back position. The Vikings, in my mind, are not a better team. The minute they release Dalvin Cook. And in the NFC North, guess who's up? Guess who's on the clock? Hey, Detroit Lions, this is it. Rodgers is gone. The Vikings are having one of those we're not retooling
We're a competitive retooler. Mm-hmm. The Bears are who we think they are, which is a team that is on the rise, but not yet ready to just break out and win the division. You know who is? The Detroit Lions, and I'm not stuttering. And you know who thinks that? The scheduler makers who put the Lions in Kansas City for the whole country to feast on the first piece of filet mignon of the NFL season. The Lions, this is it. I mean, if you told the Lions last year when they bounced Aaron Rodgers, not only did you bounce Rodgers in playoff this year, you've ended his Packers career. He gone. Not only that, but the Vikings are going to release Dalvin Cook, kick the tires on a bunch of quarterbacks in the draft, not draft one. And you just finished the season the way you just did. They'll be like, in. Hey, Detroit. It just keeps getting better for you as the summer moves along. And then the question is where does he go from here? You ready for it? I need NFL Films music. These are my top five Dalvin destinations.
Let's go.
Number five on the list, they got a new offensive coordinator. They got a guy who wears a big hat to go along with his big game in his rookie season last year that we didn't see a full season out of, Brian Robinson Jr. How about a little Dalvin Cook in Washington, D.C.?
Oh.
For Eric Bieniemy to figure out how to use. How about that? You want to help Sam Howell, who already has some speedy receivers? You already got McLaurin and Samuel and the rest. How about adding Dalvin Cook to that mix to see how that can cook? And put the Washington Commanders in the position, if this kid quarterback can perform as one of those overlooked teams going into the season, a sleeper team. But that's what you do for a young quarterback. You want to evaluate him, you get him the weapons. Let's go. That's an interesting destination for me. Number four on this list, I don't know if they got the cap room. They're also, as we know, retooling, but don't call it a retool because they've got some terrific players out here. Dalvin Cook would look good in a Rams uniform. I think McVay, I mean, you got Cam Akers and then a whole bunch of guys that you got to look up who they are. And Dalvin Cook here in Los Angeles, let's go. So if you got Stafford and Cook and Cup, you need a Cook to go with your Cup. Why not? Again.
That was kind of my first thought.
I don't know. Why not the Rams here? Number three on this list, who says you can't have, or who says, hold on, who says you can't have too many cooks in the kitchen? You got James and Dalvin. How about brotherly love in Buffalo, New York, Western New York?
That's a good idea.
They just, you know, spent a ton of money on Leonard Floyd. And, you know, they got Damian Harris and Latavius Murray, and I just don't know. This could be James's time, and they don't want to – I don't know. But if Dalvin and James want to play together, here's your chance. A lot of cooks in the kitchen. Let's see how that one works out. And so number two on this list, the Denver Broncos. Let's see if Cook can be the Camara in the Sean Payton Denver system.
That's right.
Let's see if Cook can play that role. Because they got, you know, Javonte Williams coming back from a knee injury. Yeah. And,
there.
You know, I think Dalvin Cook in the AFC West up in Denver, let Russ cook.
It's so easy.
Let Russ cook. Let's ride.
Right there.
I'm right. Broncos country meets let Russ cook.
Cook and ride.
Come on, cook and ride. Cook and ladder. Run the cook and ladder.
I'm here for all of them.
Now, number one on the list is what everybody thinks.
Bins up.
The Miami Dolphins. Yeah. Now, Mike, turn down the music here because this is the soundbite of the day. This is going to be the soundbite of the month. The way it reads, it just jumped off the page when I read the email from the outstanding NFL Network news desk. This is Mike McDaniel on being asked if Dalvin Cook, if he is released, would the Dolphins be interested? Here's the answer.
March 3rd, 1983. That day I was born, right? Yeah. Now we take a closer look at that date. And that, in fact, was not yesterday. Okay, so people that are rumored to be tall, short, people that are rumored to be, you're not going to get this guy. I'm year two, okay? So, that what I am excited about is talking about the most important thing, which is the third day of veteran minicamp. And we've got a lot of guys that are good players that have an opportunity to get better. Answer your question?
He's fantastic.
Wow.
Now, my only pushback there to Mike McDaniel, you could bring the music up one more time here, would be, this was the opportunity for him to use the coaching cliche
so
that we gave him,
cliches,
which is,
yeah,
I'm only talking about the guys that are here.
And I don't have a crystal ball, so I don't know what our roster is.
He could have used them
like,
all. It is what it is.
He could have really
just
went right
done
down
just
the
like
line
we taught him,
yeah,
to do, but he just only knows one speed, which was that answer.
Yeah.
And he did talk about how he loves Raheem Mostert and Jeff Wilson and Gaskin, Ahmed, they're all there, and they've got rookies. But Dalvin in Miami, kid back in the state of Florida, it just seems like the perfect marriage. Big time.
Do you think we need one more?
Nope.
All right, we'll get one more.
All right, and here's one more. I don't know how long Cook is going to be out there, but if he does go all the way through the month of July, and somehow, some way, Alvin Kamara and whatever is going on with him in Las Vegas gets particularly hairy, and the Saints are wondering, do we have a spot open? Maybe Dalvin in New Orleans is a spot.
Not bad.
But I would keep that in your back pocket, in the back of your mind, depending on how long this lasts. And that's my top five, with one more Dalvin Cook destinations here on the Rich Eisen Show. And scene. We'll take a break. 844-204-RICH, number to dial right here on the Rich Eisen Show on this Thursday, which is not the day after Mike McDaniel was born.
Look at Hollywood with Michael Rosenbaum. Actress Kristen Ritter.
Your parents let you travel by yourself.
It was a different time.
They just put you on a train. As a 15-year-old girl, you went to New York.
I went on a bus, and I did get picked up at Port Authority. They thought I was a runaway.
What would they do?
They'd detain you and, like, get people on the phone, and then they finally let you go to your modeling job.
But how many times did it happen?
Once or twice.
It just seems like it wouldn't happen.
It happens, yeah.
Inside of You with Michael Rosenbaum, wherever you listen.
So after talking about Elly De La Cruz, he steps to the plate during the commercial break against Clayton Kershaw and strikes out.
With some filthy breaking stuff.
Clayton Kershaw is like, okay, kid, I know you already got on base, stole a base on me, but guess what? Here is a Hall of Fame slider down and in, yeah, to a right-handed hitter. See ya. Thanks for playing. I have a nice pricing game for you coming up later.
Yeah, Dodgers are cruising.
Well, I guess how many times are the Reds going to walk off on them is the question.
That one yesterday was wild. Will Benson's first ever home run is a walk-off.
By the way, how about, the Dodgers are owned by very rich people. Can we get a bullpen door that can handle somebody at 280 pounds coming at you? Can we do that?
I mean,
by the way, apparently Judge knocked the door off its screws and hinges.
Well, yeah.
And he wound up hurting his foot. He's on the injured list now.
Should have let it drop.
That sucks.
Should have let it drop. JD Martinez, that way he saved a run.
That kind of ignited, would have ignited a Dodger rally.
I know.
That inning.
It was, they almost still damn had one. Yeah. Damn near had one.
It's funny. Did you see the door the next day? It looked like they had blue duct tape on it.
Well, I know. Because they had to,
had to reinforce it.
Yeah, I know.
Well, they put padding. Obviously, it's never happened before. So
ever.
They put padding on that little 4-inch step there.
Yeah,
you mean
the one that Judge hurt his foot on?
Yeah. Well, stop trying so hard.
This guy over there. This guy over there.
Yeah, the Yankees,
hopefully Yankees will get back on their winning ways if the hellscape in the Northeast actually blows over.
Jeez, are they going to play today?
They have a doubleheader. Are they playing right now or are they delaying it?
I don't know.
What the hell's going on? Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. DK Metcalf's going to join us here on this program. Here's what we're going to do, Chris. We're going to do DK Metcalf, Harold Parano, and then we're going to go out the door a little What's More Likely here on
Thursday.
Out
the door, What's More Likely?
Yeah, okay. Out the door, What's More Likely?
Out the door.
Is that a problem?
Like Aaron Judge out the
door? No. Hey. Good one.
Brockman doesn't want to do that.
Good one.
Now, you guys are supposed to get underway in about 2.5 hours, Rich.
Oh.
You got back-to-back. It's 4:05 Pacific and 4:05 Eastern and then 7:10 Eastern.
Yeah. Okay.
Quick back-to-backs.
Sounds good.
Good luck.
You don't really mean it.
I don't. I hope you lose every game.
Jake in Chicago, you're here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's take your phone call. What's up, Jake?
Rich, TJ, Brockman, how are you guys?
Hold on a minute.
Pay no mind list?
Yeah, what? Why is Del Tufo on the pay no mind list? What was that?
He probably didn't know he was here.
Didn't know he was paying attention.
Yes. You know what? I can hang you up really quick.
Someone watches the show.
I'm really paying attention now.
Jake is a regular.
Nice having you on the show, Jake. I'm
kidding. Way to go, Jake. What a recovery. What a recovery.
I just wanted to call. I've got a little detente and then a What's More Likely for you guys. It's a Chicago Bears fan, long time,
Bears.
Seen some very, very painful moments. The four-letter word of this offseason is hope, not the other one that it normally is.
Nice.
We're going into an NFC conference that has a lot of balls in the air, a lot of young pups who are coming in, weapons within our conference, some quarterbacks who are emerging. We'll see if the offense stays on track.
The offense.
It's really exciting time to be a Bears fan and somebody in the NFC because there's so many shakeups and there's only about two chairs that are taken for the playoffs before the season starts.
What, you're talking to Eagles and Niners and the rest is up in the air is what you're saying?
That's pretty much it. I think that there's definitely a lot of variance that we're going to see here.
Okay.
Between the Vikings had 11 games where they had only won by one score.
Okay. Here's the deal, Jake, if you don't mind me just jumping in here before you give me your what's more likely, you've now alienated Del Tufo by rightfully accusing him of having a lack of focus and saying that the Cowboys don't have a chair already. So TJ is shaking his head right now. Can't see it.
TJ, the NFC East is probably – one of the more exciting ones to see who's going to be sneaking in to other teams coming into the wild card, perhaps, or maybe three teams from your division in total can go to the playoffs. So I'm no hater here on any of your teams, except a little distaste for having to watch the Patriots those many years. But it's a new time.
What's more likely, Jake?
I was wondering what's more likely if there is – three teams from the NFC North who end up squeezing into the playoffs, or the NFC North team that wins the division and makes it is below 500.
Oh. I'm going to do what Rich does and say neither.
Yeah, I mean, I think the team that wins that division is going to be above 500, but I also don't think three teams in there is... Thanks for the call, Jake. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Jake.
I don't think three teams are making it.
Seems like the Bears are a few years away. It's definitely the Lions division.
Hey, let me just throw you
10-7 feels about right for the winner of that.
I'm gonna throw a couple people a frickin' bone, to use the phrase. I'll throw one in your direction. I think Dallas is definitely a playoff team.
Come on.
I mean, honestly.
Let's keep it real.
I'm keeping it real. Big time. Dallas is a playoff team.
I believe so.
And so are the Seahawks. And I'm not just saying that because DK Metcalf is about to join us. That's the other one I'm throwing at.
Well, I'm not going to say.
Come on
they
now.
Won't.
You know what I want to hear from DK? Bobby Wagner is back in the building.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay,
that's a big factor.
All right. Last year they did what they did last year, trying to fumble for the light switch with Geno, and Geno flipped it on literally from jump, and then creating their own identity. But you know what? A little bit of the old school identity with this young team as they're coming up together. I know Geno's not a young buck, but he's not an old, long in the tooth guy. Having Bobby Wagner back there, I think, is significant. And the running game is really good. That kid Charbonnet they drafted along with Kenneth Walker is going to hit you in the mouth repeatedly.
True.
And Jackson Smith and Jigba being added to this mix with DK and Lockett, and that line getting better, growing together, and Pete just being the gum chomper to get it all wound up.
But you have to expect a regression to the Geno mean.
No, you don't.
Yes, you do.
No, you don't.
Brady Anderson only hit 50 home runs once.
There's a reason why Brady hit 50 in the first place, and that's not why Geno had a great year last year. DK coming up.
I'm just saying good years come out of nowhere, and then we never see them again. That's my point.
I will say it is more likely that Seahawks are similar to last year than a regression. And you say it's more likely that they regress.
It's more likely that, they were kind of it was an out-of-nowhere season last year, and they missed the playoffs
this year.
They're
absolutely, at the top of that division, right?
Absolutely at the top?
They're absolutely in the top half of that division, because I know how you feel about the Rams.
Yeah, I don't think the Rams are
I think
be
it's more likely that the West gets three teams in than the North. How about that? What's more likely? Three teams come from the North or three teams come from the West?
It's more likely it comes from the West. Correct. But you're expecting big things out of the Rams. A lot of guys
or
bouncing
bigger,
back.
Bigger. Enough for them to get a 7 seed, which, as you know, is right around 500 sometimes.
Yeah, 10 wins out of the Rams I think would be a big shock.
Nine and eight.
Mm, maybe.
Stafford Cup.
You're just Donald, assuming those guys are going to be healthy.
Yeah, I am assuming that. And then Dalvin Cook. Here we go. I just want them to be better enough where you're not going to sell your tickets. That's all.
Well, that's not going to happen.
Well, there's some good road teams that we can make some money on.
You're offending me now. All right, DK Metcalf's about to join. And then Harold Perrineau here in studio.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It'll be a lot of fun in hour number three. And then what's more likely going out the door? And then maybe one more at-bat from Ellie De La Cruz to tell you about.
Conspiracy theories. Paranormal. UFOs.
Science teacher Andrew Greenwood stated that a child ran into his classroom and was hysterically screaming and talking about the flying saucer outside.
Hundreds of children ran out of their classrooms to go outside and see this unidentified flying object that was just above the school.
Just imagine a bunch of kids running out of school. Most of them probably just ran home.
Theories of the Third Kind on YouTube or wherever you listen.